this is my main focus. However, having studied for a long time, two additional topics related to this PPAR. One is mastitis, because if PPAR regulate immune system by reducing inflammation, but also make the immune cell better equipped to face any challenge, this is a target. If you can actually use activate PPAR in order to achieve a better response to mastitis, for instance. Another topic is also improve milk quality, especially milk fat synthesis.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Adasail, provider of Smartamine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production. Kemin invites you to optimize your herd's performance. Dive in at kemin.com/dairy. Birdus Nutrition, the fatty acid people. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Zinpro Isoferm is the nutrient your herd needs. Fuel the rumen first and unlock dairy herd productivity and greater profitability.
So hello everyone, this is Luis Ferreiro with the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. And today, we'll be interviewing Dr. Massimo Biona, which is an associate professor at Oregon State. And our goal is to discuss two very intriguing topics. First, nutrigenomics, what that is, why is that important, and how can you better use that in the field and hopefully make some good decisions associated with that. And then we will follow up with some discussions about byproducts, but more specifically about what do we know about the spent hemp byproducts and how this could be an interesting feed for dairy cattle. But before we get into that discussion, first, Massimo, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you please give us a brief background about yourself?
Yes. So I am Italian originally. I grew up in a dairy up north in the Alps, in high mountains. Actually, since I was 5 years old until I started university, 19 years old, I spent my summer in the mountains grazing cows, milking them by hand, and later on making fontina cheese. So I did that until I was 19, and then I started at the university, and I couldn't go anymore on the dairy, but my passion for dairy start growing up in a dairy. And then after that, I did my university down in Italy at Piacenza, it's the Catholic University of Piacenza. I graduated there both as an undergrad with a thesis in ruminant nutrition in my region with Professor Giuseppe Bertoni. And then I continued with him my PhD where I work on the nutri-physiogenomics around the peripartum period, where we start actually to work on the problem of inflammation in peripartum period. After that, I did my first postdoc at Penn State with Gabriela Varga when I started to do some my nutrigenomic work. And then I moved to Illinois, where I spent 3 years with Dr. Juan Lohr working on the nutri-physiogenomics in mostly on cattle, but we did all sorts of species. And after that, I did also 3 additional years of postdoc with Professor Matthew Wheeler at the University of Illinois, again there, working with use of mesenchymal stem cell for bone regeneration, especially maxillofacial bone regeneration. And then since at the end of 2012, I joined the Oregon State University, where I'm residing now. And my main field of research are nutrigenomics, dairy management and welfare. I work a bit on milk and human health, and then I also work now a lot on hemp as a feed for dairy cows, or actually all species, not just cow.
Adasail, a global leader in nutritional solutions and the provider of Smartamine M. Visit milkpay.com to calculate your return on investment when you balance your feed with amino acids, and to learn how Smartamine M is the product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production, component levels, and the lifetime performance of their herds.
Now, thanks for this introduction. And starting, with nutrigenomics. So tell us, what exactly is nutrigenomics?
Yeah, genomics is a very interesting field of research, starting humans or monogastric before dairy cows, but practically in a very simple way is try to exploit the bioactive compound in the feed, and especially those bioactive compounds, they affect the cell biology by interacting with the genome. So they change the expression of genes, either increasing expression of several genes or decreasing some. And this way change the biology of the cell because the gene, of course, they code for protein, which are the working horse inside the cell. And so if you affect this, then you affect the cell, which affect the tissue, which affect organs, and then the whole physiology of the animal. And the ultimate purpose in nutrigenomics work I try to pursue is to try to improve the performance of health of the animal. Just give you a quick example. If you want, as a human, if you want to become stronger, we exercise, right? We do this. And what happens during exercise, we turn on genes and we change the physiology and actually structure certain tissues. And it's all driven by genes changing, increasing the expression, decreasing the expression. So through training, we kind of use non-nutrigenomics, so we do the same thing. Through nutrigenomics, try to use the biotic compound to achieve some of those results. I don't know if that has explained in a nutshell what nutrigenomics is.
No, I think that's a great explanation. And tell us a little bit more about the specifics related to nutrigenomics that you are working on, and how does that change the cow?
Sure, it's a great question. So one way how those biotic compounds affect the genome is through what's called transcriptional factors. Those are protein, specialized protein in the cell, which they sense and bind those biotic compound, and after that happen, those transcription factor move into the nuclei if they are already not there, and they interact with DNA and then determine the expression of genes. So it's very interesting to study those transcription factor. There are two which I'm especially interested on for the improving the production and the performance and health of the dairy cows. One is called the peroxisome proliferated activator receptor. Which is, in simple way, we call it PPAR. And it is a very interesting, it's called a nuclear receptor because it is already in some way in the nuclei and is work somewhat similar to the estrogen receptor in the sense that when bind the body compound need to interact with another protein, and with those protein, they form this heterodimer, they move into the DNA, and then they control the expression of many genes. And why the PPAR are interesting? A lot of work done, especially in monogastric and in human, the PPAR are one that respond to starvation. They have a tremendous control of the metabolic status of the animal. They also control immune system. They are interacting, they have also some function as antioxidant. And then also they are master regulator of tissue repair and regeneration. So they have so many functions. And one thing particular about those PPAR is that they bind fatty acid with a different characteristic and stuff like this. And we know that even though we don't feed a lot of fatty acid compared to monogastric, which they can get up to 30% fatty acid diet, in cow we feed less, but my purpose is to try to use the fatty acid to interact with those PPAR and then change or affect the performance of the animal. Now, the PPAR, the story, like all the story in science, they are more complex than this very simplistic explanation because there are three different types of PPAR. They're called alpha, gamma, and delta. They have different functions. So when they interact with fatty acid, also the interaction with fatty acid is different between the three. The expression is different between tissues, and then they have ultimately a different function. For instance, the PPAR alpha is more involved in the metabolism, catabolism, like use of fatty acid when the liver burns fatty acid into these PPAR, it's controlled. A lot of that is the typical transcription factor, which is activated during starvation because respond to non-esterified fatty acid. Then there is the PPAR delta, which is pretty much expressed everywhere and to the body, has many functions, and one function seems to be prevalent is tissue repair. And then it has PPAR gamma, which we don't know yet, even though some of the data produced in my lab seem to suggest that they respond to fatty acid. They might not respond to fatty acid in human is not so evident, but once activated, seem to have a prevalent role in controlling the adipose tissue and the immune system. So why this PPAR would be interesting for cows, especially cow around transition, as people work in the dairy industry knows that the transition cow are the key factor, because if a cow have a bad transition, will be a costly cow, will be very poor performing cow. But if the cow goes through a smooth transition or this peripartum period from dry to lactation without any issue, the cow will be a performing cow, no problem. And so the idea is that, and we know that a lot of this problem associated with the transition cow are led to a metabolic adaptation or a maladaptations, but also now very hot as a topic is the topic of inflammation, which is actually the one that I originally started to study when I was a PhD. Now I have again an interest to going back to it. And so if inflammation and associated with this increase in this catabolism happening, this kind of this inflammation happening, there's also oxidative stress, which is a major issue around peripartum period. And so PPAR, activation of PPAR might be able to regulate all this and to make the transition again of the cow better. So in some way, diminish the negative effect of a heightened inflammation, reduce or help the cow to face this high catabolic state that is just after parturition, especially high non-esterified fatty acid, make the liver more able to use them in a more efficient way, and then also help in a way to direct the production of glucose toward the mammary gland for the milk production. Again, all this with the purpose of improving the health and the performance of the animal.
Unlock whole herd performance with ZenPro IsoFer. This one-of-a-kind technology enhances rumen performance and advances efficiency by directly feeding the rumen microbes. What's the result? Decreased dry matter intake, increased energy-corrected milk, better feed efficiency, and a herd that is better equipped to navigate the stress of lactation phases and seasonal change. Learn more at zenpro.com/isofirm.
So if we could summarize the nutrigenomics benefits for producers, would this area that you just described associated with minimizing inflammation or helping cows to go through a healthier transition period, would those be the main benefits, or are there other things that you see that would be key for the dairy farmer?
This is my main focus. However, I have been studying for a long time two additional topics related to this PPAR. One is mastitis, because if PPAR regulate the immune system by reducing inflammation, but also make the immune cell better equipped to face any challenge, this is a target. If you can actually use activate PPAR in order to achieve a better response to mastitis, for instance. Another topic is also improve milk quality, especially milk fat synthesis. It was a topic that I've been working a lot in order to, again, achieve the goal of activating PPAR to improve milk fat synthesis. Now, something that I have to immediately disclose is that we are still doing a lot of basic work, and there's not yet a nutrigenomic application. The major reason for this is that we do stuff in vitro. In general, they work well. We get good results, but in vitro with cell is completely different than our in vivo system, where the complexity is very large. And there's also this regulation, this network, this feedback, where it's very difficult to change the system immediately. So stuff that works very well in vitro, then you go in vivo and the results are very, very tiny. And so there's way more work to be done in order to achieve the goal of really use nutrigenomics as a tool at the farm level. And major challenge for this is that it's very difficult to come by funding for that because it's too basic of research. There has not much application. And for instance, USDA has no too much interest if there's no immediate application. And so it became a little bit of a challenge to get funding, but it's definitely the direction is to do way more basic work before to move into the in vivo and achieve some goal. Right now, for instance, we fatty acid, they are very bioactive, not just through the PPAR. They can do many, many other things. We have worked with the fatty acid for many, many years. We know that there is some benefit to use fatty acids. Certain fatty acids are more beneficial, but often we don't know why they happen. We know they produce more energy, but being bioactive, we don't know exactly what's going on. It's kind of a little bit of black box. And in order to achieve what is called precision feeding, we have to account for this bioactivity. And so that's kind of the reason why more basic study try to understand what exactly happened is somewhat necessary.
Now, thanks for all this explanation. Now, certainly is an area that there is a lot to learn and a lot that the producers can benefit from. Massimo, thank you so much for joining us today. For you at home, this is the first of two episodes. We will be back in the next episode to discuss a little bit more about spent hemp byproducts, which is a completely different topic, but certainly extremely intriguing. But thanks again, Massimo. Thank you at home, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you.